This is Jonathan Bingham. Welcome to Get Connected. I pray that God's Word will challenge you, encourage you, and equip you wherever you are in your walk with Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening to this audio presentation. This lesson series challenges us to define our desired destination, compare that with our current direction, recognize the decisions we have made that resulted in our direction, acknowledge the thoughts that shaped those decisions, and to take charge of the many factors that influence our thinking. It was presented to our adult Bible study at Eastside Church in Marietta, Georgia in the fall of 2015. God bless you as we study His Word. When we, I gave you some examples. I said, for instance, someone who spends more than they make. They have to borrow money and use credit cards and all sorts of credit and borrow from family and all that kind of stuff to be able to get by. And I ask you guys, what's going to be the result of that? And well, financial ruin, right? Being broke, potentially homeless. You know, the outcomes would be really, really bad. But you guys nailed it. You knew what was going to happen. And I gave you another example. Somebody who drinks all the time, right? Drinks a lot, every day, for a long, long time. What's going to be the result of that? They're going to be an alcoholic. They're going to have physical problems. What else did you say? Destruction was one of the things that you guys talked about. And you nailed it. Well, you might even say, well, duh, that's obvious. And then the third example that I gave you is somebody that wakes up earlier than necessary, spends time in the Word, spends time praying, sometimes gets caught by their children praying on their knees, has Bible studies with their kids. What's going to be the outcome of that? Godliness, righteousness, godly kids. And once again, you could say, well, duh. Now, here's the crazy thing, though. We can look at someone else's life, we can see someone on the freeway, and say, well, I know where they're going to end up, because it's obvious. Good morning. Pamela. Hi, Pamela. Come on in. You see somebody on 75 going north, and you say, they're going to end up in Chattanooga. You see someone who's drinking all the time, and you say, well, they're going to be an alcoholic. They're going to have physical and every problem you can imagine. Well, the crazy thing is that we can't be so sharp. We're not able to be that sharp, that astute about our own lives. For some reason, when you get in the car, it's hard to tell which direction you're going on 75. And so part of this exercise, part of the reason we're doing this is because as easy as it was for you guys last week to say, well, here's what's going to happen to that person. It's just as difficult for you to look at yourself and say, well, I know where I'm going to end up because I recognize the path that I'm on right now. I recognize the direction that I'm going. So that's why I think that this study is really, really important for us. So we talked about those things. If you do this and this and this and this, what's going to happen? Well, you know, we were able to predict that pretty well. The other thing we began doing is looking at our own lives and asking ourselves the questions, well, what do we do? What are our habits? And the point of this is for us to try to figure out, well, what highway are we on and which direction are we going? Because that is so hard for us to see in our own lives, so much harder than it is to see in the lives of other folk. So we talked last week about what your habits are. What do you do when you get home every day, or when you stop doing what you do during the day and start doing what you do at night? What do you do? I think we finished on this one. How often do you and your spouse have dates? We talked about that in some cultures that's not as typical, may not even be as necessary in some cultures. I think in ours, for some reason, it is very helpful. How often do you and your spouse have time to talk one-on-one? No kids around, no urgent things you're trying to solve, just to sit around and talk. We'll skip that one. Given that we have guests this morning. All right. Your activities at home, are they typically shared with your spouse or are they typically separate? I'll tell you, one of the things that Trent and I have realized recently is over 24 years, the time that we used to spend doing all sorts of stuff together has become us spending a whole lot of time doing different things from each other. And so, scared the crud out of me, and so we're working on it. You know, we're different people than we were 24 years ago, so we can't just automatically start watching Garfield every Saturday morning and fix it like we used to or whatever like that. So, and this is something that we have seen as such a danger in the lives of couples, where little by little, one thing at a time, you migrate into separate lives. And the problem is that usually, sometimes too late, but usually once you realize it, it's a long way toward Chattanooga, a long way down the road, and it's hard. It's hard to turn around. Remember the quote that we keep using, good habits are hard to make. These good habits that we're going to be talking about are going to require life changes, major decisions to cause us to stop doing what we're doing and start doing something differently. To change our habits is really, really hard. But the outcome is what you want to have. It's easy to live with. So, you spend time with your spouse or separate. Even if you're together, is it separate? Crud, we can sit down on the couch and watch TV together and have an entirely separate evening if one of us is on Facebook. Yeah. And even some of the activities that we choose. Sitting down to watch TV, sometimes I feel like I really need that, but is that quality time where, you know, that I can really count, boy, we did something great, fantastic together to build our marriage? Probably not, unless the content is pretty special. Okay, next question. What do you do when you first wake up every morning? What do you do the very first thing? I think words out of my mouth are something like, oh, crud. You rehearse the schedule for the day, get some coffee. I know what I wish I would do, and a habit that I don't have, but I wish I did, is to start the day in prayer and in the Word. Wouldn't have to be a major production, but instead of waiting until later in the day or the evening, typically, to start there. Yes, Pamela. Yeah, I'm too. And it's not a matter of condemnation, because I am exactly wired that way as well, to where mornings are the worst possible thing that happens to me. Then in the evenings, oh sweet, I'll take that. I'll totally take that. It starts at sunset. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Okay. What do you typically eat? I've recognized about myself that what I eat is the reason why I look the way I do. And that if I would quit it and change, and talking about a difficult set of habits to change, eating is a really hard one. But if I choose to eat stuff that's high in calories and high in fat and fried and gooey and tasty and all that, then I'm going to look like I looked. And if I choose instead to eat what I should, what's better for me, it's going to make a difference. But talking about a good habit that's hard, because you have to give up tasty.
I've read an article that they were talking about regional eating habits. You know, like the Northeast, the Southern eating habits are the worst in the country.
Gravy, fried. Oh, it makes life worth living. I know it. Yeah, I know. And related to that, how often are you active? Something besides sitting on your chair and laying on your bed.
12 hours a day. I mean, I'm literally up on my and I cannot lose the 30 pounds I put on when I got married. I was 200 pounds when we got married. I'm 230 now. Oh, no. I blame the lunches she fixes me because it's enough to hold me for 3 days in the wilderness and my car breaks down.
Well, and I think that if you put the two questions together, what you typically eat and how often you're active, that the combination of those two answers will probably be the rest of the story for all of us.
Stuff, we really do watch what we eat, because, I mean, we really read labels. I mean, that's the big thing with us. But it's just, you know, I figured I'm up, I'm going, and this and that, and it's like, man, this is better.
Well, you know, here a while back, I was... I used to mow our yard and do all that stuff.
I did that too until my teenagers got older.
Well, I don't have that option. And so I remember thinking, and Trina was saying, why don't you get somebody to do it for us so I don't have to do it, ever, you know, all that. And I kept saying, no, I need the exercise. No, I need the exercise. Until I finally started looking at the guys that were mowing other people's yards, and they were as big as I was. And so I thought, apparently it doesn't help, right? So I decided to contract that out.
On your feet, elevated heart rate. I'm probably the most active 300 pounder on the planet.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. I come from sweat and, you know,
heart rate and what you eat and how you eat and what food and quantities.
Yeah, we have two fitness trainers in the room, so.
We can say a lot, but we won't.
All right, next. And so I guess that's the active that we're talking about. Next question. Do you have a budget? Do you typically save 10% or more of your income? Do you tithe? Do you rely on borrowing for any part of your lifestyle? These questions all relate to that situation that I gave you a while ago. So easy for us in our culture today to feel pressured, to want more than we can afford. And unfortunately, there are lots and lots of tools out there that you can use to get yourself really deep in a hole. So saving 10%, tithing, as I believe a number one priority. Giving 10% of what you make back to God first. And the impact of that on your life will be dramatic. God promises it. Do you have regular Bible studies with your spouse? With your children? Do you have a quiet time, sometime in the day at least, where you pray and read your Bible and meditate on Scripture? That was one of the other situations that I described. Really clear correlation between doing those things and having godliness, righteousness as a part of your life. Let's see. Here's a really important one. Okay, looking at the time that you spend doing all your stuff, after you take out sleeping, and after you take out your job, or if you don't work outside the home, your work inside the home. Okay? So after you take those two things away, what do you spend the most time doing? So with your discretionary time, the time that you have a choice over, you have control over it, what do you do more than anything else? Sure, if you want to throw it out. That's awesome. Wow. That's really intentional. That's excellent. And you will see dividends forever. That's awesome. Anybody else want to throw theirs out? Reading is rare these days, I think.
It's dragging them to these things, But I mean, and then there's times like, once all the kids are asleep or in bed, I should say, it's roughly between 9:30 and 10:30 at night, and then that's 2 hours of time that we get to each other, and it's vegging out watching. It's vegging out watching. And I'm up at 4:30 in the morning, leaving for work, and then I'm home. Our days are full. But the kids will understand it later on. That's the thing that we say. When they get older, they'll understand.
Yes, Pamela. Family dinner. Mm-hmm.
Everything you see, everything you do, why don't you do this? And why do you do this? And just automatically tell them from the time they're little.
It's an organic part of life.
Yeah, and yep. I just love that.
That's good. good.
I love that.
That's good.
And sometimes it takes us, when you are so busy, to remember the Lord all the time and to say things, to remember why it is, how it is that we are on it. So I think that helps everybody.
All right, so I've asked you a bunch of questions. Some of them, all of them intended to try to expose this is the direction of my life. This is the direction of my family. Is the marriage headed toward each other, or is it headed apart? Are you and your children headed toward God or away from Him? And hopefully those questions helped, and really I think the way for us to finish this idea is back with our passage for today. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. So the answers to the questions that we've talked about, that's what we're sowing. That's where we're going. That is what we're planting. And God promises us that we will reap what we've sown. And if, like Hosea says, if we sow emptiness, then you will get it magnified in return. Because that's the law of the harvest. The law of the harvest is whatever you plant, that's what you're going to get back. You're not going to plant tomatoes and end up with peppers. You're not going to plant lettuce and end up with cucumbers. What you plant, you're going to harvest. And if you plant one seed, how much do you get back? A whole lot more. And so these things that we've been talking about are simply designed for us to kind of expose which direction we're going. Because as I said a while ago, it's easy. You know, if I promise you that if any or every one of us were to sit down and say, you know, my biggest problem right now, my biggest fear about where, you know, how things are going is this or that, I promise you that we could say, well, it's obvious why. It's because you've been doing this and this and this. You set the direction, and so why is that destination a surprise at all? But for us, somehow we're blind. And it's crazy because there's nobody in here that's not reasonably smart. And most of us in here have even spent most of our lives as followers of Jesus. And yet somehow, when we think about these matters in our own life, we just can't put two and two together and come up with the right answer. And so trying to dig this stuff out is for the purpose of helping us see where we are. Okay? Yeah. Boy, that's good, Kitty. That's really good. Remember last week when we were talking about how that I said something which is something I really think fairly often, that I wish that there was somebody who would walk around with me and kick me whenever I'm about to do something stupid and to tell me, what do you think you're doing? If you do that, then this is what's going to happen. And remember the last time you did that, and this is what happened. And didn't you say you wanted to start doing this? And so, you know, kick me again because I need it. And Dawn said, well, Jesus is there, right there next to you. And if you went to the church service, what was really awesome was Dr. Hull said exactly the same thing, word for word, as far as I can remember. Oh, yeah, different time, but yes. But the fact that you do have someone right next to you, and yet, because of our lack of faith and lack of recognizing that, we don't let Him do exactly what we need. Well, as we finish today, I'll remind you where we are, where we're going. We're talking about being intentional about our destinations and recognizing that our direction determines our destination. So that's what we spent the last two Sundays talking about, our direction. What is our direction? And I pray that each one of us will have really great insight into our lives to be able to see, here is the direction I'm going in this area and that, and that we would be able to recognize that, because recognizing that is key to the rest of what we're going to be talking about. So at the bottom, that's our destination. Then right here, that is our direction, because that determines where we go. What determines our direction? Those are decisions. And we talked a lot about that the very first Sunday, to see how this whole process happens. Our decisions determine our direction, which determines our destination. Well, what affects our decisions? There's a lot of stuff. And it is ultimately our thoughts. But there are a lot of things that contribute into that bucket. And so we're going to be talking about those things as we move forward with our study. Let's pray, and we'll be dismissed. God, I thank you for this study, as it has definitely impacted me and how I think about our lives and our activities. And Lord, I pray again for each one of us in this room, that you would help us with your Holy Spirit to illuminate our habits, our direction, the things we're doing which determine that direction, that you would illuminate those. Help us to really recognize them. Recognize them for what they are. Some of them very good. Some of them potentially destructive. And Lord, that as we move forward in our study, that you would help us to be able to identify those that are not for good, not for your will, and that we would recognize how to change them. And I ask God, please give us grace. I think that everyone in this room likely will need grace to help us make difficult changes. So please help us. In Jesus' name, amen.